It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? The book of Genesis today, Genesis chapter 25. And so please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 25, and we'll begin the study here in just a few moments. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles, that we may read God's Word. We have many names and towns and places, and so please be patient with me as I begin to read the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 25, verse 1. Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. And Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, and Latershim, and Leummim. The sons of Midian were Ephra, and Hanok, and Abida, and Edea. All these were the children of Keturah. The Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 115 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died, in a good old age, an old man, and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre. The field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well of Lahairoi, Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abram's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaiden, bare unto Abraham. These are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, and Kedar, Adbeel, and Mibsam, Misha, and Duma, and Massa, verse 15, Hadar, and Tema, Jeter, Nephish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael. These are their names, by their towns, by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. These are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people. They dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest towards Assyria, and he died in the presence of all his brethren. Now we're going to stop with that 18th verse and begin with prayer and start the study. Father, thank you that we have this opportunity. I praise you that, Father, you have brought many folks to listen and to study your word together. And I ask that you will give me wisdom, your wisdom, that we may teach your word properly, and it will be a bring honor and glory, Lord, unto you. Please, Lord, that you will lead us as we go through once again this the life of the end of the life of Abraham, and then we go into the life of Ishmael. And please, Lord, that you will show us your way and show us your will as we enjoy this study. And just touch all of our hearts. We desire, Lord, you desire that all would come to the saving knowledge of your Son, the Lord Jesus. That all would understand what was paid on the cross of Calvary. All would understand that we are dead in our sin and we need life. And the only life that's offered, the only life that is available, is through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Please, that all will come to that saving knowledge of you today, Lord Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at these words and these verses of Scripture. You know, we've just finished out the 24th chapter concerning Abraham, Eliezer, Abraham's servant, Isaac, Abraham's son. We've looked at the death of Sarah, and we've looked at the going after Isaac's bride as Eliezer traveled to him, which was a foreign country, back to Ur of Chaldees, where Abraham, Lot, and his brothers, his father, where he lived. He sent Eliezer back to that land to get a bride for Isaac. Eliezer was obedient in every way, followed after every step, and he found Rebekah, the chosen one. And Eliezer brought Rebekah back and presented Rebekah unto Isaac. And if you'll remember why Rebekah lifted off up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, being Eliezer, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And you know, as we look at that beautiful story, and that beautiful love story, it is wonderful because it's such a perfect picture of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we come to know by faith the Lord Jesus, our journey begins. And we travel through this life, and we are just awaiting the time when we will be able to see Jesus Christ face to face. Rebekah did the same. She was anxious. She just couldn't hardly stand it. She couldn't wait till she could see her husband-to-be, Isaac, face to face. But all the time, the servant Eliezer was telling her about her husband-to-be. All the time, Eliezer was sharing these treasures and giving great treasures unto Rebekah as they journeyed through this wilderness getting back home. It's the same way with us. The Holy Spirit shares all these wonderful, wonderful treasures with us. And we're just awaiting the time when we'll take that last step and we'll be face to face with the Lord Jesus. Wonderful. You remember how Isaac, just to, you know, one more point here, you remember how Isaac came out to the field to meditate, and that's where Rebekah would meet Isaac. And you know, it's the same way with us. The Lord Jesus is going to come down towards the earth. We will meet him in the air. What a wonderful picture. I hope that you enjoyed that. And I know that as that has come to a close now, so we have Abraham, we have Sarah has died, we have Isaac married, and Isaac and Rebekah, and so all this is taken care of. And now we find with Abraham, no longer is his son, now he has to care for his wife, and should. And so Abraham, with Sarah dead, with Isaac married, Abraham all of a sudden finds himself alone. And so it's not good to be alone. Abraham seeks out a wife, and her name is Keturah. Now, most think that probably that is was Sarah's handmaiden. And so he has taken her to wife, and she bare him children. And as we look at these children now, and we're going to try to come through the names, and so again, forgive me as I kind of stumble through them, but it is important that we read these names. Again, we have Isaac married. Isaac has Rebekah now. He no longer has the need for his father Abraham that he had before. And also Sarah is dead. And so Abraham alone seeks companionship and seeks love. And he finds that in this woman. And he makes her his wife. And her name is Keturah. And so as we look at Keturah, she bears to Abraham. And we have the list of the names here in the second verse. And as we look at the second verse, it is Zimran and Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, Shura. And then that's the children. And then we go to the children's children. If you'll notice now, we start with Jokshan. Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Dedan are Ashurim and Latershim and Liamum. That's the hardest one for me to say. Then the next of the children that are listed is the sons of Midian. Ephrah, Epher, and Henoch, and Abida, and Eldea. There we go. I'll get it in a little bit. Eldea, and all these were the children of Keturah. Now Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Now we need to look at that. He gave all that he had unto Isaac. That had to be, because all of it was through the promise, and that promised son was Isaac. And so Abraham literally turned everything over. Now, notice what Abraham is doing. Abraham is old. And instead of him waiting so that all could fight over the inheritance, Abraham begins to distribute what he has to his children, and he does it properly. He gives all that he had to Isaac. Now, you think of that, probably all the lands and all the livestock, all that he possessed. Now, Abraham never really doesn't speak of him owning any land. As a matter of fact, he had to purchase land to bury Sarah, if you'll remember right. But he had great possessions, and so he gave, it just says, all that he had to Isaac. But to the sons of the concubines, now again, this is something that was common of that day, which Abraham had. Abraham didn't leave them out. He gave gifts, but he sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived, and he sent them eastward unto the east country. Now, it's very important here that we see that, number one, Abraham was very fair with all, but basically everything went to Isaac, because that was his proper son. And so basically everything went to Isaac. But when it come to the rest of his family, he was fair with them. He gave them gifts, but he took them and divided them away. He moved them away from Isaac his son. And he did this while he was still alive, because he knew the promise was through his son Isaac. And he didn't want any competition from anyone else, including Ishmael, concerning who's the boss, concerning who is going to possess all this. It was done very clearly and very properly. Abraham set it forth, and Abraham followed it. And so we see that. We see this very clearly and very carefully here. And again, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac. He separated them. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 365 years. If you would do the 60, that's 20 years per score. And so we have 60 years there plus 15. And so we have 175 years, if I added it correctly. He lived to be 175 years old. 100 years he has lived in this promised land. And as we look at the life, the wonderful life of Abraham, I know it's been several studies back, but it just seems like yesterday that we brought Abraham out of Ur of Chaldees, and he went up to a place where his dad had to die, if you'll remember, right before he could go on. The old man has to die. We have so many beautiful pictures in God's Word. You know, when we're first saved, God begins to move us along, but it's not too long that He expects us to begin to die to self if we're going to progress, if we're going to grow, if we're going to be Christ-like. And so many times He has to stop us, and we are held up into an area, into a place for a period of time until we can get the old man out of our life. And the old man here had to die. God told him to leave everything behind, but he didn't listen. He brought some of the old man along. He brought the old man along, his dad. And, you know, we do the same thing. We bring the old man along, the old flesh along, and we think that's okay. We're kind of used to that, but God says, no, wait a minute here. You're on a new journey. You're going completely in a different direction. I don't want anything to come with us, so leave that alone. Leave that at home. That's what he told Abraham, but Abraham didn't listen. All these years now, and we have went through the going down into Egypt and back. We've followed him with Lot as he had to go up north and capture Lot again because Lot got himself in trouble, and we've watched that. We watched then as Abraham took Isaac up and to offer him up as God had commanded, and then how God placed the substitute there. And then this last beautiful statement in the last chapter is where we find that Abraham sends forth the servant to get Isaac's bride. And we find that to be finished. Isaac has his bride now. And so now we see that Abraham's life is over. But it makes a statement here. He's 175 years old. But I want to show you, then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age. You know, sometimes many people live to be many, many years old. Old, I mean they're 70, 80, 90, 100 plus years old. And so we could say that they died, but it was a good old age. Boy, that was an old age. Sometimes we even make a statement that he was a good old boy. You know, we make that kind of a statement, you know. And it's sad because most of the time, most of our lives, that's about what we are, is just a good old boy. We got along. We did what we had to do. We didn't really do much more than that. But we did our own thing. And sad to say, that's most of our lives. It shouldn't be. We should do the things that bring honor and glory unto the Lord. That's what we should do. Now here in this eighth verse, it tells us, then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age. An old man, 175 years old, is definitely an old man. But look at the next words. And full of years, and was gathered to his people. Full of years. That's a wonderful statement. Can we say that about our life? That what we have done in making a living, have we been a blessing unto the Lord with our life? As we have lived this life, have we been a blessing unto the Lord, or have we been so self-consumed, self-centered in our thinking and in our doing, that we really cannot say that our years were full. They were long, but they weren't full. Many times it's not even that they're even long. But the question is, you know, a man can live a short life. A man can live a short life according to the world, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, and still live, be full of years, have a purpose, be full, be right, do a good work. And that good work is not going to get you to heaven. The only thing that's going to get you to heaven is if you come by faith to Jesus Christ. And if you come by faith to Jesus Christ, and it's by faith alone, not by works, then you begin, from the love of God, you begin to serve God and to praise God and to honor God with your talents, with your abilities, with your time. And that is what will make your years full. And I hope that you understand that and look to see that Abraham here was full of years. Now, we're going to look very quickly here, because we find the same statement with Ishmael as we look at Ishmael and in his years and his generation. Let's look at the 17th verse, and we're going to pick up that in the middle here in just a minute. But, and these are the years, the life of Ishmael, 137. So we could say that he lived a good old years. We also say here that he died. He gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people. That's all it says. It makes no mention that his years were full. You see, Ishmael did not live a life that was serving the Lord, that was bringing honor and glory unto the Lord. Abraham did, and he got this wonderful statement here, full of years, full. I can't impress enough, and I don't know how old you are as you're listening, but we have been through so many wonderful stories in God's Word. And when I say stories, it's not something someone just decided to write. It's truths. It's Abraham's life. And God has chosen to record that for us so that we can see how a man of God lived and how a man of God makes mistakes and would mess up. But God would bring him back and to the end, at the end of Abraham's life, to have such a statement made. His life was full. It was full. And I hope, you know, that the Lord will say to me that he is well pleased. But I also hope that with that statement can come an additional statement that my years were full. Even if there are short, if the Lord chooses to take me home very soon, that's his decision. But I hope, even if my life is not full to what everybody would think of old, a good old age, an old man, if I don't get to that place, I don't care. What I do care is that statement can be made that my life was full. It was pleasing. It was satisfying unto the Lord, not satisfying unto self. And so I hope that you maybe would have read over that word full many times, never even gave it a thought. But it's a very meaningful word, and it's a word that you need to take just a minute to look at, because his years were full, and we praise the Lord for that. Now, Abraham's life is over. He had two families. He had Isaac, and he had Ishmael first, and then he had Isaac, and then he married Keturah. And in marrying Keturah, then he had these children, and we've listed those. But then we've listed what he has done, kind of made out his will, but he did that by speaking very clearly to his family, and he took Isaac aside. He says, "Isaac, now all this is yours." And so he gave that all to Isaac. And then to the rest of the any family members he has, but to the sons of the concubines, he gave gifts to them, but he divided them away from Isaac. Isaac is the promised son, and he needs to stay that way, and we don't need to get this all mixed up. There is no question of who receives the inheritance and who received the promise, and that was Isaac. Abraham took care of that in his later years, and then he died. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered of his people. Now look to see, because you know we hadn't seen anything out of Ishmael, but look here in the 9th verse, and his sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Makes no mention of the other children that he had, but the sons, Ishmael, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre. Now, this is the very same place, of course, where Sarah was buried. The field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried and Sarah his wife. And so side by side, awaiting the bodily resurrection. What a wonderful hope that both have. And it's going to be a wonderful day, because you see, every grave will be opened. And I believe when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, I believe then that many graves were opened. Could have been Abraham and could have been Sarah at that time, that their graves were opened, and they are in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, none of that could happen, because when Abraham died and Sarah died, they went to the place of paradise, and they remained there, I believe, until the Lord Jesus Christ finished the full work of redemption upon the cross and rose from the dead, and then those Abraham, Sarah, and all the born-again saved people were taken out of the place of paradise and taken home to heaven with him, and that's where they remain. But there will be a day when there will be a total resurrection of the body too, not only of the soul and the spirit, but of the body. It's going to be a wonderful time, and I believe that Abraham and Sarah here, as they were buried in the field of Ephron, in the cave of Mamre, that they are just awaiting that time. And then it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well of Lahairoi. And now these are the generations of Ishmael. Now, we notice that after the death of Abraham, the blessing, we really never have heard anything about Isaac, have we? Other than his bride has come, and he was comforted after his mother's death. But now we find that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt. It tells us where that he was dwelling. And you know, if we'll go back into verse 61 and 62 of the last chapter, and Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode up on the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah, and they went his way and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in that south country. Now we find over here in verse 11 of chapter 25, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at the well of Lahairoi. And so it's the very same place where he was when he awaited Rebekah's arrival. And then we're going to begin next time here. We have read those verses of Scripture, but we're going to end with this this location here. And we'll begin with the 12th verse next time we come together. I hope that you have enjoyed the study. I hope that it's been a blessing to you. I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, we have been studying now for many months the book of Genesis. And if I could look here very quickly to see when we started this study. We started this study in 818. And so we have been over 2 years studying the book of Genesis to get, that's about about a chapter a month, isn't it? And it sure is, as we have enjoyed the study of the book of Genesis. It takes a long time to go verse by verse and enjoy that. I hope that you're enjoying the study, but I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope that you know the same God that Abraham knew, that he knows this very day. Because you see, Abraham is alive as well, as everyone that dies in Jesus Christ has life. Everyone. Even if you die without Jesus Christ, you spend eternity somewhere, and it'll be in the lake of fire. Please today, come by faith to Jesus Christ and trust in him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?